Welcome to another episode of At the Table with Patrick Lencioni, where we talk about anything and everything related to organizational health and the world of work. I'm Pat Lencioni, your host, joined as always by Cody and Tracy and Matt. Got Karen here today too. Cody, what are we going to talk about today?
Well, I'm going to give you the episode title in just a second. We have two announcements up front, Pat. One is We want everyone to join us. We're the Working Genius book launch event is happening on 9/27, September 27th, the same day the book launches. It's a free event. We're asking people to join us virtually. You're going to be speaking to an audience that day, and we're going to sort of zoom everybody into that. And so if you've used that tool or familiar with it, heard about it on this podcast, we'd love for you guys to join that event. You can go to our website, tablegroup.com or workinggenius.com and register right there. And then the second thing is, why not also pre-order the book so that you can get that book right after Pat speaks? You can have it on your doorstep the day it's released, and then you can dive into the fable. So wanted to mention those things. If you've listened to us and seen sort of the impact that Working Genius has had on us and the people around you, that'll be a great event to join us for.
So that's coming up very soon. All right. Thank you, Cody. So what are we going to talk about today?
All right. Enough about quiet quitting.
That's right. I'm a little grumpy today, or a little annoyed by this. We keep hearing about this thing, quiet quitting, like it's some new thing, or I guess because it starts with quiet and quitting are both Q words or something. And we're reading more about it, and we're hearing from people that actually think this is kind of a good thing. And we want to talk very quickly about why this is not either a good thing. It's neither a good thing, nor is it a new thing. And that's what we want to talk about today. You know, for years, we've been doing transition management classes, and Bill Bridges, God rest his soul, talked about the fact that when people go through transitions, they often quit and stay. So they don't leave the organization, but they kind of quit in place. And I remember years ago in my first job as a management consultant, I had this guy named Jerry that worked near me, and he wasn't doing a lot. And we were all really busy, and we said, "What are you doing, Jerry? You're going to get fired." He goes, "No, I'm harvesting." We said, "What's that?" He goes, "I'm like a farmer. I've planted seeds. I've worked hard for the last 3 years. I'm just going to take my paycheck, do as little work as I can until they fire me or I find something else." And so he went into harvesting. People have been doing this for as long as work has been around. So this new idea of quiet quitting is nothing new. It's just a different phrase. Now, what we want to talk about today is why it's happening now more than it has in the past, and what companies and employees should do about it. So that's what our topic is today.
Yeah, I love it. It's not a new thing. In fact, I got an email from someone who listens to the podcast, and they had said, like, "Hey, I'm interested in your guys' thoughts on quiet quitting." And I didn't know what it was. So I went, looked it up, and it's an old problem with just a new brand to it. It's the same thing. They just did a better job branding it, I guess, this time, and social media ran with it. But you're totally right, Pat. This has been going on for a long time. And I think I'm similar to you. I think we have similar sentiments on being grumpy around this. But the reason I like it is because it's really fundamental. The anecdote to this is really fundamental to everything we talk about on this podcast. Is like how when we're not thinking of work as just a transaction of time for money, but when you can actually do work that's inspiring and that you want to be doing, that's fulfilling, that's the antidote. So I'd love to dive into this with you and hear your thoughts.
Yeah, so there's two things I want to say. First of all, I want to talk to people in organizations. If you have people in your organization that are quitting, quietly quitting, as they say, there's two things we want to talk about today. What to do about that, and then after you've done everything you can about that, what might be your best option? So let's talk about, you know, first, let's assume that people don't want to quiet quit. That this is, because this is not a good thing. We have people, I think what bothers me the most is there's people writing articles about this, like, "Isn't this great? People are more into their work-life balance and they're quietly quitting, and that's good, good for them." And it's like, no, this is bad for society, it's bad for the organizations, it's bad for them.
I just before you go on, because like me, Pat, 1 week ago, I didn't know what that was. So do the first, like, 10-second, what is it that you feel like quiet quitting is? So that listeners who maybe haven't read that, what is the simplest definition?
It's minimalism at work. It's like, I'm going to do the bare minimum, take care of myself, give the organization very little. Essentially, it's if, you know, in humble, hungry, smart, it's like, I'm not going to be hungry anymore. I'm going to do as little as I can and focus on myself. Now, here's the thing. There's a lot of people hearing this and going, yeah, you should get rid of those people. And we're going to talk about why you might want to do that in a second. But first, you have to ask yourself, what are you doing as a leader or as an organization that might be encouraging people to do quiet quitting or to quit and stay? Because if you're contributing to this, then you need to do everything you can to eliminate those reasons. And, you know, one of our books about, you know, the three signs of a miserable job, which we changed to The Truth About Employee Engagement, says that people really want three things in their job. And you need to give them that. People are owed that. So if you're employing people and they're quietly quitting, you have to ask yourself, do they feel like I don't know them? Because if they're coming to work and they don't feel like their manager knows them or the leader knows them, then you're just making it easy for them to want to do this. So get to know your employees. Make sure your managers know your employees, what's going on in their lives, what's going on in their work. If people are feeling anonymous at work, then you're making it likely that they're going to quit and stay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's the first thing we have to do. The second thing we have to do, though, is we have to remind them why their job matters. If we're not reminding people like, hey, your job actually helps human beings in some way in their life, whether they're a customer or a vendor or a colleague or your manager, people need to know that my job actually matters. If they don't know that their job matters, of course they're going to want to quietly quit. So right. As leaders, we need to go back and say, do I know them? Do they know why their job matters? And then the third thing is give them some indication of whether they're succeeding or not. Every employee in any job, I don't care if you're a professional football player, the vice president of marketing at a massive company, or a line employee at a fast food restaurant, everybody needs to know, am I doing a good job? If your employees are known, they know why their job matters, and they have some indication if they're doing well or not, and they're still quietly quitting, then by all means, help them not quietly quit, but help them quit for good, because that's probably not a person you want in your organization. But if you haven't done those other things, maybe it's your fault. Mm-hmm. But the thing that's annoying to all of us, I think, is that there's people that are writing about this as though quietly quitting is like an entitlement or a right of employees because people shouldn't work hard. Mm-hmm. And again, That's people who aren't hungry. Everybody should be hiring hungry people.
Right.
And so I say, let them go.
And it's worth saying, you know, there's probably a number of people that are in positions at companies that are taking advantage of them and asking them to go above and beyond. And in those cases, sure, certainly don't overinvest in making your manager happy if it's unfair or if they're taking advantage of you. But in most cases that I've read, Pat, it's just people sort of paring back the, you know, the idea of what they owe their company and what they think their company owes them.
Yeah.
And I feel like in that situation, they should just quit for real if they're going to quiet.
Yeah. And it's like, and all the power to you. If you think you're not being paid enough, it's a good point, Matt, or you think your company is taking advantage of you, then quitting quietly is actually doesn't have a lot of integrity. Just quit. Leave. Mm-hmm. Tell your place, if you don't pay me more or treat me better, I'm out of here. But the fact that we're holding up as a positive example people that are continuing to take a paycheck and doing the minimal amount for it seems like a pretty bad idea. Yeah, Trace?
Oh, I was just going to say, just your reference to the employee engagement stuff, I think it's particularly hard now because people are still virtual. So doing those three things as managers might be a little bit more challenging. So can you talk a little bit about that, just the whole virtual environment that some of us are still living in?
Yeah, I mean, you can still know your people and remind them why their work matters and give them a way to know if they're succeeding, even if they are virtual. It's much harder. Mm-hmm. But the problem is when those same employees are saying, I don't want to come back to work, and I want all of this other stuff, then if you recognize, I think there's some entitlement going on here, you know, losing the right people is a great way to motivate the right people. Like if it losing the people that don't want to work hard, they're one of the biggest impediments to the people who do want to work hard to do it because they don't feel like they're being rewarded. So losing them from your organization is a net gain. Mm-hmm.
I just remember all the speeches my dad gave me when I was younger, Pat, when he said, hey, on the basketball team, you know what you should do? the bare minimum. That's what's going to make you successful. You should go in there and your team's really going to win. No, my dad never gave me that speech, because there is something inherent in this conversation where it's like, yeah, it's okay to go to work and for it to not be your whole identity. But if you want to be successful and grow in your career and take on new things and be stretched and pushed around things, the part of the conversation is just, yeah, you'd go and you do a little bit more than what is required. You know, and not because your employer, I think that's sort of the piece that I don't totally understand either, is like, not always is it the employer requiring that of you. It's individual aspiration to say, hey, I want to be really good at this job. I want to go above and beyond, and I want to advance my career or even my own understanding. It sort of feels like the majority of the rhetoric out there is about like how evil the employer is versus, hey, individuals should want to perform at their best.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mike Rowe is one of my favorite personalities out there, the guy that did Dirty Jobs. I think he has one now called How America Works. It's about, you know, in the US, where he talks to workers, to employees. And I love his attitude. He said, you know, people that are saying, hey, this isn't fair, I shouldn't have to work hard like this. He said, maybe you have to look at yourself first, because mm-hmm. what they're saying is they're putting it all on the employer. Now, again, it's got to be shared. We are all about employers doing everything they can. But there's so many people in the workforce today that are like, I shouldn't have to do anything, ever go above and beyond. And he said, look at yourself. So while we are real believers in working genius and finding the job that suits you, you are owed nothing in terms of having your employer jump through hoops for you. We're big believers that companies shouldn't have massive policies about whether you should go back to work or not. It should be based on that individual job and the individual manager and your team. But employees that are like at Apple, who are just coming out and saying, we don't want to go back to work in the office, man, I think that they're doing a great service to the company by saying that. That would be the people I would look to go, maybe those are the ones that need to leave. Mm-hmm. Because when you lose one of those people, you know, we talk about it in the world of sports, when a team loses talented people that don't have the right attitude, everybody else's performance goes up. Mm-hmm. So rather than bending over backward and jumping through hoops for people that are pretty much saying, I deserve to quietly quit, I think it's take the lead and help them find a way to loudly quit.
And I love the way you started this podcast, Pat, in the sense, with the idea that if you're seeing this happen in your organization, you're a leader, first sort of like, this is a warning sign about, do we have the right clarity in place? Do people know what our mission is? And like what you said, do they know why their jobs matter? I would be thinking of this as like a, you know, canary in the coal mine type moment of like, should we be paying attention to this? Maybe there's less clarity about why our company matters or why their job matters than we thought there was. So really, if you're in a seat of a leader or this is happening in your organization on your team, I would go back to the clarity questions. Like, do we know why we exist? Do we know how we behave? And then on top of that, the three signs of a miserable job that you did, because this is a, like you said, it's going to be a real advantage for the companies that actually push through, have the clarity, whose employers are not quiet quitting. And then if they are doing it for the wrong reasons, obviously showing them the door for real is a better option than keeping them in the organization.
You know, Cody, what I just thought of as you were talking about that is that basically what we're saying to employers, but I think I'd say to employees too, is if this is happening, assume first that you need to look at yourself. So the company mm-hmm. should say, hey, if people are quietly quitting, maybe we're doing something wrong. Let's double down on clarifying things, making sure we know our people and doing all these things. And then if they're still doing that, it's time to take action. And I think employees should do that too. Go, maybe I've gotten soft. Maybe mm-hmm. I'm expecting too much. They go, no, I'm not. I think I deserve this. I think I don't get clarity from them. I don't think I'm well managed. I've told them maybe I need to leave. Whatever it is, do not let people quietly quit and don't be a quiet quitter. I think that's the thing. It'll be great when nobody does this and nobody tolerates it anymore. It'll be good for everyone. So I don't feel quite as grumpy as I used to before, because I think that's only fair.
That's great.
All right. That's all we have to say about this. This quiet quitting thing, it's not new. It's not novel. It's not cute. It's not positive. But it's going to maybe wake up some companies to do a better job. It's going to maybe wake up some employees to take a harder look at themselves, and maybe it'll go away.
Before we end this podcast, I just want to do a quick shout out. We received something super fun in the mail the other day from a company called Bavonda. Pat, she sent you and I amazing notes. They're tumblers and they're customized with our logo on them. And Lainey King just sent it to us out of the blue because she is a podcast listener. So thank you, Lainey, and thank you, Bavonda.
Yeah, we really appreciate that. And we appreciate all of our listeners. We love to hear from you. And we will look forward to talking to you next time on At the Table. God bless.